Over recent months, we've seen the remnants of COVID-19 pandemic policies be taken down, which mostly is a good thing. One of those few remaining COVID-related policies that's about to be taken down worries quite a few people. They see the end of what's called Title 42 resulting in, well, not just a flood, but a tsunami of migrants at the southern border. This brings us all back to the long ongoing debate in Washington about how to deal with, illegal immigration. My next guest joins us to take a look at pending legislation, which offers the steps people want to see taken, at least. He's Vice President with Numbers USA, Chris Chmielewski. Thanks for being here today, Chris.
Thanks for having me on.
NumbersUSA.com is a website. Learn more about this and the immigration issue overall. Just to backtrack on, I mentioned Title 42. What has that been doing, and why is it significant that it's being having its plug pulled?
Yeah, so it's a Trump-era policy that it actually originates from the Centers for Disease Control. And it's essentially a health policy that says that during the COVID-19 pandemic, to try to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, that nobody who does not have proper authorization to enter the United States can do so. So in other words, it gave the Trump administration and then the Biden administration authority to essentially deny entry to anybody who showed up at our southern border, whether they came across the border at a port of entry or at a non-port of entry without authorization. So it really put a dent into illegal immigration and discouraged a lot of people from coming. And what we saw was a huge slowdown. Now, in the first 2 years of the Biden administration, they've added some exemptions to Title 42. So, for example, they exempt family units. They exempt unaccompanied alien children. They exempt some other classes of people, individuals that might have family members already here living in the United States, whether illegally or legally. So what ended up happening is most of the folks that actually end up crossing the border illegally without authorization end up getting released here and aren't covered by Title 42 because of the Biden restrictions. So as you mentioned, because COVID-19 has been wound down, Title 42 is one of the pieces that will also be ending, and the administration is scheduled to officially terminate it on May 11th next week.
Which explains why all of a sudden, and this gives testimony to how effective Title 42 was, we're seeing already the influx of migrants basically
right
going up to the starting line and ready for the gun to fire and the race to start.
Yeah, we're already seeing some large caravans start to accumulate on the other side of the U.S.-Mexico border. So they're ready to come. They're ready to come. And the administration has taken a few steps to try to reduce the numbers of people that are coming across the border illegally. But essentially all they're doing is they're trying to create unofficial and in all likelihood illegal ways that they can enter the country without having to rely on the drug cartels, who are the ones who mostly control the flow of illegal aliens across the southern border. So the Biden administration, yes, they've made some announcements. They're doing some things proactively before Title 42 is actually terminated. But none of it is meant to discourage people from coming. It's just simply an effort to try to discourage people from going through the Mexican drug cartels to try to come here.
Wasn't the Biden administration showing up with a bucket of water after fires already started?
Yeah, pretty much. And you need a whole lot more than water. I mean, there's two approaches that you can take here. And again, the Biden administration is not discouraging people from coming. They're just trying to discourage people from going through the drug cartels and creating alternate ways that they can come in. And like I said, some of those ways are questionable legally. Now, House Republicans are going to hold a vote. We think it'll be next week on a bill, H.R. 2, called the Secure the Border Act, and this is a different approach. This discourages people from coming in the first place, and that's what I believe you need to have happen. You need to discourage people from coming here in the first place and tell them, if you come here, you're not going to get in, so don't even bother trying. Don't turn your money over to the drug cartels because we're not going to let you in the door.
I was surprised doing the research about the current state of affairs. There's actually, from the Customs and Border Protection, they have the CBP1 app where you can
right
schedule appointments at your point of entry where the asylum claims can be processed. Is that maybe a great plan B versus Title 42? It'll play a role in tandem with, I would think, given the elements of what H.R. 2 contains. It could help keep people at that starting line instead of having them start the race in, you know, deeper into the country where they can easily get lost.
Well, yeah, again, what the Biden administration is trying to do is they're trying to remove any sort of bad optics along the border. There's going to be so much media coverage when Title 42 eventually ends down at the border, and what is the response and what actually happens. The last thing the Biden administration wants to see is thousands of people pouring across the border, so they're creating these alternate channels. But again, what you're having is you're having people who are not authorized to enter the United States be able to schedule an appointment at a port of entry through the CBP One app, and then they'll be admitted here into the U.S. But again, they're unauthorized. So why are they being allowed into the U.S. anyway? So the Biden administration, like I said, is just trying to find ways to get people not to go through the drug cartels, not to cross the southern border en masse, and instead come through ports of entry, even though they're not authorized to come here in the first place. So again, I would say the better response would be to discourage those people from coming trying to come, rather than just to create these alternate routes for them to come in. Because like I said, can't emphasize it enough, at the end of the day, they are not authorized. They do not have visas or green cards. They do not have a legal claim or legal reason to enter the United States.
Dr. Chris Chmielewski, Vice President with Numbers USA, numbersusa.com, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned all the proactive steps, albeit, you know, last minute, that the Biden administration has been taking. At the same time, let me put this into a sales analogy. For anyone listening who's involved in any kind of sales, obviously at the beginning of the month, you're given a goal. We want you to post $100,000 on the books this month. Okay, now I know where I have to go. What if next month your boss would say, you know, you're going to do a great job if you just put $50,000 on the books. Then after that, $25,000 on the books. Isn't that what the Biden administration has been doing with as far as their target goals of number of convicted criminals, non-citizens who were either returned or removed from the U.S.? They've been basically shaving down the numbers year by year by year.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to do some fancy maneuvering and granting people parole and things like that to make the numbers look better than they appear on their side. But again, you know, especially when it comes to illegal border crossings, apprehensions by Border Patrol agents, you know, they were celebrating a couple of months ago the fact that the number was 125,000. They were celebrating because it was 225,000 about 4 or 5 months ago. So, yeah, it was down 100,000. Maybe there's reason to celebrate. But if you go back to the Obama administration years, then the average apprehensions on a monthly basis were around 40,000. We're at three times the level, and this is the level that the Biden administration is celebrating. So they are. They're setting these arbitrary benchmarks, and then they're celebrating when they hit these benchmarks. But if you put the benchmarks into context, they're really not all that significant or meaningful for that matter.
Going back to H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, some of the elements include resuming construction of a border wall, which I was watching News Nation one night, and they've been using this as part of their promo, too, as far as their coverage of the border. During one of the live reports in the background, you saw some of the migrants getting shoved over the wall. You saw the illegal immigration happen live on camera. And one of the elements of H.R. 2, E-verify, make it mandatory. That's probably as simple as that sounds. I know this is sounding crazy, but think of who we're talking about. It's politicians in Washington have their loyalists and people they want to kowtow to. That seems to be just one hellacious sticking block with this whole issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's not just between Republicans and Democrats. There are Republicans who have been pushing back against this mandatory E-Verify requirement that's in H.R. 2. But it's needed, and it was actually one of the promises of the 1986 amnesty, the 1986 amnesty bill that was passed under Reagan, which granted amnesty to about 3 million plus illegal aliens in the country, promised worksite enforcement. What they did at the time was they rolled out what's called the I-9 form. So this is a form every employer has to fill out to determine whether or not somebody's authorized to work in the United States. but it's all documents-based. It's all paper-based. The E-Verify system in HR2 would actually replace the I-9 system with this electronic-based system that's provided and maintained by the Department of Homeland Security. It's incredibly easy to use, highly successful. It's been already required in a number of states across the country. And what it would do is it would prevent people, it would be more effective at preventing people who are in the country illegally, illegal aliens from obtaining work here in the United States. And one of the things that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle with this border crisis is that we've now had 1.2 million gotaways, I think the number is. That's 1.2 million individuals who know, who Border Patrol knows cross the border illegally, but they weren't apprehended by the Border Patrol. So these are folks that are here in the country and are probably working. Something like mandatory E-Verify would prevent them from obtaining a job here in the U.S.
And if you don't think it would work, go back to the employment numbers back in 2007, 2008 when the U.S. economy tanked. Self-deportation was the sudden trend among those who were immigrants who were here illegally, because when there was not work, they had no reason to stay here. They had no reason to head down to the Western Union office and pipe American money back home to wherever their native country was. So E-Verify would indeed make a difference. Learn more about the overall content of HR2 and overall view of the issue of illegal immigration and steps that need to be taken to combat it. NumbersUSA.com, the website for NumbersUSA. He is their vice president, Chris Chmielewski. Chris, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.